We expected something, something better than before. We expected something more. Do you really think you can just put it in a safe behind a painting, lock it up and leave? Do you really think you can just put it in a safe behind a painting, lock it up and leave?
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Sarah Vakhshouri, who is an independent consultant based in Washington, D.C., a native of Iran. She was an advisor to the director of the National Iranian Oil Company International and also worked for the Petro Energy Information Network, the Iranian Ministry of Petroleum. She has worked in the private energy sector in Iran and as a senior investment analyst for Pasargad Energy Development Company and as a senior consultant to Pasargad Bank and as a senior market analyst for the Oil Pension Fund Investment Company. She's the author of The Marketing and Sale of Iranian Export Crude Oil Since the Islamic Revolution, and her writing is at svbenergy.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sarah Vakhshouri.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Ian.
So clearly there's a lot of growing economic distress in Iran itself. People have got to be feeling the squeeze, particularly the middle class and those with a little bit of money, because they're desperately trying to convert the Iranian currency, the rial, into dollars. And the exchange rates are amazing. I mean, they have every day the rial loses its value by, up to 10, 20. It's about almost half of its value now, just dropping on a daily basis. This is a real catastrophe for the Iranian middle class, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Actually, unfortunately, in the past few months, Iranian currency lost 2/3 of its value. And in the current economy, Iranian economy particularly, unfortunately, the prices of most of the goods, even if they are not imported, are highly related to the price of dollars. And any change in the exchange rate and devaluation of Iranian currency has led and will lead, if this trend goes on and on, to inflation, and it increases a lot, the inflation.
So, Dr. Sarah Vakhshouri, the area that you worked in as an advisor to the director of the National Iranian Oil Company International, which is where Iran gets its oil, where Iran gets its money from. That's the source of its national budget. Is the oil exports? They've dried up considerably, aren't they? What is Iran exporting now in terms of oil?
That's correct. Due to the Iran's export since, particularly since June of this year, due to the EU oil embargo and the complementary sanctions of on Iranian central bank, and also sanctions on insurance of Iranian crude oil cargoes, has dropped significantly. And actually, it was kind of shocking that the oil consumers of Iran reduced their purchase from Iran significantly. In the past 2 months, Iranian oil export has fell to below a million barrels of oil per day. And this amount last year around this time was almost near 2.5 million a day. It is expected to grow a bit because we are entering the cold season and the demand for oil is growing. But unfortunately, the sanctions, they were very effective in reducing significantly Iranian export. And unfortunately, now there is this kind of buyer's market formed against Iranian oil that customers like China and India, also Japan, that we were expecting to continue importing Iranian oil, are negotiating for much lower prices from Iranian side. And at this point, there is no signs that Iran is going to give a significant discount to them. Therefore, Iranian export has dropped hugely.
So with this currency crisis and with the budget crisis that Iran faces. And one of the ways this government has maintained its popularity, which I believe is at an all-time low, has been through subsidies of fuel and food. They've had to cut them off. I mentioned the distress to the middle class because their life savings in the Iranian currency, the rial, are evaporating, and they're desperately trying to convert it into currencies like the dollar. The Iranian authorities have arrested money changers trying to stop that. I believe they're pouring money into the exchanges and pouring dollars into the exchanges now, aren't they, to stop the drop of the rial?
Yes, that's actually the solution that they implemented since a few days ago, that the Iranian currency devaluated hugely in the last week. Unfortunately, this is not going to be an stable solution. Iran never had a free market of foreign currency exchange. So always the foreign currency, for instance, dollar, was in the hand of government, sell it and inject it in the market and determining how much would be the value of their currency. As we see currently, the government does not have, because its currency reserves are about to finish or they're declining severely, that the government does not have enough foreign currency to inject it in the market and stabilize its foreign currency. What they have done in the last past few days was to arrest few people. They mentioned that they were causing problem in the invisible hand, what they call them, that they're causing problem in the foreign currency market and they're cause of the high dollars rate and devaluation of the currency. Also, they're injecting and giving extra currency to few money exchangers in order to stabilize and reduce the gap between dollar and their currency. However, we don't see that there is a general, this deal and trade of the currency, foreign currency, is not happening everywhere in Iran or in all the money exchangers. Only a few money exchangers have access to these government dollars, and the rest of the exchangers, although they are open, they are preventing to offer any rate to the people, and no one is really buying or selling. There are long queues behind the doors of those foreign exchange companies that they have access to the government dollars. And I suspect that if, again, the market starts as it was acting before, that all the money exchanges could sell or buy currencies, again, the prices of dollars will increase.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Sarah Vakhshouri, who's an independent consultant based in Washington, D.C., a native of Iran. She was an advisor to the director of the National Iranian Oil Company International and also worked for the Petro Energy Information Network at the Iranian Ministry of Petroleum. She is the author of The Marketing and Sale of Iranian Export Crude Since the Islamic Revolution. Now, my understanding is that there's a lot of discontent in Iran. Now, obviously, the idea of a Persian Spring, which is what the Israeli press are talking about, maybe that's, you know, hopeful talk from Israelis, who, of course, are not happy with this government that wants to destroy them. We all experienced the Green Revolution, which was brutally suppressed. So there's an assumption that the Iranian people are still, beneath the surface. They still want freedom and that they hate this government, at least a good percentage of the people. Now, we talked about how the middle class are being hurt. And the poor Iranians probably less because they don't have any savings. But I keep hearing stories about how people are very upset, for example, with how much money the government is giving to the Assad regime in Syria, how much support they give to the Palestinians. And there's a growing movement inside of Iran saying, wait a minute, why are you giving money away to these other countries? Why don't you take care of the Iranian people? So, You're in touch with Iran. What do you hear from how the average Iranian feels about this economic crisis and the extent to which this government has this expensive foreign policy?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, the results of the sanctions are directly affecting people's daily life. Just looking at the inflation on every goods in Iran, particularly the food and the basic crucial foods that people are purchasing, week by week, prices are going up. Like this week in compared to the last week, the prices of milk or yogurt have all been raised. I'm not talking about meat or chicken that has been so high that maybe there are many people that currently could not really purchase them. Also, on the other hand, there are many other problems that they are facing. Most of the medicine import to Iran has faced a problem, and many of the important and crucial medicines that they were imported before to Iran are not there in the market anymore, or their prices have been increased a lot. Students are not receiving, the Iranian students that they are studying outside of Iran are not receiving any more official rated dollars that was always lower than the market. So people are really facing and hurting from the results of the current sanctions on Iranian government. But also, I feel they're losing their trust in the government more and more every day to find an effective solution. I think the lack of management and unfortunately, as you mentioned, the Iranian foreign policy in financially helping countries like Syria, at the moment that they don't have enough foreign currency reserves or their economy is facing a huge problem, is really going to, I mean, it has already done, and it's going to really increase the unsatisfaction and anger among the people.
So the estimates of hard currency that the Iranian regime has given to the Assad regime in Syria, over 10 billion, maybe double that. What's your understanding of how much money has gone to support the keep the Assad regime afloat?
Well, I mean, I don't have any access to any data to know exactly how much, and I'm like you, just looking at the news. But I think just any kind of news like this that Iran has helped $10 billion to Assad regime is going to really increase the anger among people. I mean, now we just, like in the past few months, we had a massive earthquake in northwestern part of Iran, where it's really going to be cold, the temperature in that area, and still people are living in their tents, and they still didn't have any, I mean, the government has not even yet built any temporary housing for them as you're approaching the cold season. So I think the number really does not matter here. Just the fact that Iran is facing an economic crisis and people are really suffering, seeing the government, instead of finding an efficient solution for the problem, rather they are sending the money that they have, or like in this situation, to other country like Syria to support the regime, is going to make people angry, of course. As I remember at that, when I was in Iran, every phase of South Pars, which would produce massive amounts of gas for Iran, would only cost $2 billion of investment. Now imagine if that $10 billion, not in, just in like oil industry, would be invested, that Iran now is suffering hugely from lack of investment. It would really help Iran for its economy, producing jobs, prosperity, but unfortunately, the management at this point in Iran is, I think, not as much as concerned that they should be.
So again, I'm speaking with Dr. Sara Vashkuri, who's an independent consultant based in Washington, D.C., a native of Iran. She was an advisor to the director of the National Iranian Oil Company International and also worked for the Petro Energy Information Network at the Iranian Ministry of Petroleum. She's the author of The Marketing and Sale of Iranian Export Crude Oil Since the Islamic Revolution. Now, given that all of these sanctions are based upon the fact that the Iranian government will not be honest with the International Energy, the International Atomic Energy Agency about what it's up to in terms of these underground facilities. There's an assumption on the part of the West that Iran is secretly trying to produce a nuclear weapon. There are, of course, conflicting information about that. But the sanctions are as a result of the P5 plus one. That includes on the permanent five of the United Nations Security Council, friends of Iran like Russia and China, who have joined in these sanctions. So Iran doesn't have too many friends, and a lot of people are wondering why it is, if they say they're not developing a nuclear weapon, why are they putting their country and their people through such pain? What is going on? So are these questions being asked by the Iranian people?
Well, I'm sure it's this is a concern of many people. They're just seeing the sanctions as a result of the government's foreign policy. But I believe it's much more complicated. I see it much more complicated, as it's always been discussed. As far as we saw, Iranian government was really trying to put this step ahead, but unfortunately the red lines that Iran has for itself is much more different from the red lines that the P5 plus one and Israel are expecting from Iran. And also what I understand from the Iranian officials' statement, I feel that there's a friction between the decision makers in Iran, and yet there is not a consensus among them that where and how and when they should do the compromise. So I think the game is more complicated than it sounds, and I hope that things get solved and get better as soon as possible, because the result of the foreign policy Iran has on all these negotiations that are not reaching to a positive end is really hurting the Iranian people, and it's really affecting their life in a very negative way.
But if the Iranian people are upset that the government is giving money to Syria and to the Palestinians and not taking care of their own people, and on top of that, the economy is in free fall because of international sanctions, which are to do with the nuclear program, how much is the nuclear program? How much do the average Iranian understand why it is their country is going through these sanctions? Do they know? I mean, a lot of people have argued that this is a matter of national pride, that Iran, they're a proud people and they demand the right to enrich uranium. That's an argument that I find hard to follow, given the economic pain that's going on.
Well, I completely agree with you. I mean, of course, if a country is in a normal situation, normal economic situation, political situation, people could ask or could concern about having their nuclear program developed part of their national pride. But at this point, that the Iranian nuclear program is causing lots of costs and lots of difficulty for people. I agree with you that it might not have as enough support as the government is talking. Of course, people are concerned about their daily life, at the end of the month, how much they are earning and how much they have to spend. I mean, you mentioned to the subsidies, and also people's wages have not been increased and are not increasing parallel to the inflation in Iran. So many goods and many foods are day-to-day reducing from people's table. I think people are very much at this point concerned about the economic situation in Iran and also their security, and very worried about their tomorrow, what is going to happen. But as you mentioned, to the green movement, if like the question is that, are people going to stand against the government, do another movement, have an uprising? It's very hard to really predict that. We saw a few days ago that people in front of the Central Bank of Iran and also the Grand Bazaar of Iran, they were protest. People were angry and they were trying to show their anger to the government. But On the other hand, the government of Iran and their security forces are highly alert, and they're very much ready to prevent any uprising or any movement that it could unstable their domestic political situation. So it's going to be very hard for people to stand or like to rise against the government. That's my understanding at this point.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Dr. Sara Vaskuri.
Thank you so much for having me in your program.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Sara Vaskuri, who is an independent consultant based in Washington, D.C., a native of Iran. She was an advisor to the director of the National Iranian Oil Company International and also worked for the Petro Energy Information Network at the Iranian Ministry of Petroleum. She's the author of The Marketing and Sale of Iranian Export Crude Oil Since the Islamic Revolution, and her writings are available at svbenergy.com. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the International Crisis Group's report on Afghanistan that is extremely bleak. And you know that there's a place.